supporting you in your dog parenting journey. The Dynamic Dog Owner with Debbie Potter. Hello and welcome to another edition of The Dynamic Dog Owner. I hope you and your dogs are all well. So today I am going to be talking about rewards. What is a reward and how we use it in training our dogs? So in modern day training, we very much have an emphasis on reward training, force-free training, science-based training. There's so many names and terms out there. It can get really confusing what they all mean. And it's something that can really get misunderstood, reward-based training. Many people tend to think of it being overfeeding your dog, offering a bribe, feeling like it's all a little bit too touchy-feely, you know, no one can do wrong, it's a bit airy-fairy, being too nice. The modern approach to training, where we do not use punitive and aversive methods, is what we call science-based training. So modern science-based training. It's based on history of studies that have all been undertaken over hundreds of years about behavioural science, behaviourism. And this approach, way of learning, applies to people, it applies to dogs, and it applies to all animals. We don't realise it, but we are also operating and being rewarded in this way throughout our lives, every single day, through the general tasks that we're doing. We just don't look at it in that way. So today we're going to, obviously, an owner approach. We aren't going to go too deep, but we're going to look at how rewards work for your dog and how you can help them or help you to get the desired results from your training and help your dog succeed by using rewards. So when we initially think about rewards, we tend to think of something we give to our dog. So we give you a reward. And that when we think of, you know, the actual things we can give, the top players tend to be praise, fuss, attention, treats, and toys, which are absolutely correct. These are all rewards. We praise our dog by saying, good girl, good boy, oh, you're so cute. And we give him a little bit of fuss, a scratch behind the ear, a little stroke. And we may give them attention by smiling at them, nodding at them. We give them treats, so food rewards, or we give them a toy to play with. They are all rewards we can give to our dog. For some dogs, it's not quite as simple as just giving these things. Every dog is motivated differently. Every dog has different motivation. Just like people, we all have different things we'll work for. Some people will quite happily have a slice of cake. Others go, oh no, I'm not into cake, I much prefer chocolate. Some people are motivated by money. Some people are motivated by holidays. Some people are simply happy being motivated by having a nice dinner and chilling out in their garden. Everyone is different, and so are dogs. So we have to understand our dog, know what is rewarding for them as an individual, firstly, to help us have success in our training and be able to reward them. Because a reward is only good and useful if you actually like what you're being given. If someone was to reward me with something I didn't like, so say, oh, you've got some Marmite, I'm a hater, it's not rewarding. They might love Marmite, but to me, it's not good. I would much prefer Nutella. So it's not just as simple as grabbing a treat or grabbing a toy off the side from the treat cupboard and saying, here you go. Your dog has to like it for it to be a reward. So a reward makes a behaviour more likely to happen. And some dogs are going to be more challenging than others in this area. If you've got a foodie dog who eats anything, training is so much easier. Having had two labs as puppies, they will eat anything. They're really not bothered. Any treat they will happily have. Fred, on the other hand, my golden retriever, the youngest, has been one of the hardest dogs for me to work out what is actually rewarding to him, because he's quite selective. And it's taken me, say, until he was about 18 months to go, right, this is definitely his favourites. And so for him, he will only work outside of the house for cooked chicken or sausages and a particular toy that he likes. Anything else is not good enough. I remember years ago when Dave was a puppy, he was probably a teenager. I took him to training classes, and normally I took like cheese or dog pate, and everyone was going on about how dogs love chicken. So I cooked up some chicken, and spoilt boy, chopped it all up, put it in my treat pouch, trundled off to class. I got there and he looked at me and was like, dry old chicken, are you kidding? And he really wasn't bothered. And it surprised me because I thought, oh, I've gone to the effort to cook some extra meat for you. It wasn't his cup of tea. Lesson learnt, I always took the things he liked after that and made sure he liked them. But for Fred, it did take me a little while. At home, he will eat anything and he will play with any toy. But outside, he finds the world a little bit distracting and he comes a little bit stressed. So he needs good treats. So at one point, it did have to be warm sausages wrapped in foil until we got to class. but knowing what your dog likes, that's how you're going to get best successes. So think of rewards a little bit like payment. You know, if we're asking our dog to do a behaviour, we need to pay them. We're asking them to do a job. They need payment. We wouldn't go to work and not get paid. We would probably quit because majority of people's reasons for going to work is obviously to earn money. Whether you enjoy your job or don't enjoy your job is generally regardless because you're there to earn money to live off of. So we don't tend to think of the activities we ask our dogs to do as being a job, but to them it is. And they need payment. They need reward. And the payment has to be equal to the task you are asking them, so the difficulty of the task. So an activity I find really useful is to work out your dog's hierarchy of rewards. What is the lowest treat that they work for? What is like their best treat in the world they can't possibly not have and they love it? Then whether that you think of that as, you know, this one's better than the other, or whether you have it as a monetary value, having that sort of list and knowing what's on it, which ones to your dog is less important and which ones are more important, allows you to then offer a reward or food reward or a toy reward that is equal to the difficulty of the task. So it's a fair payment. If you think of it in human terms, if you were to ask your children, and I know mine would not work for anything less than £5, I'd like you to do to wash my car and I'm going to pay you 10p. The likelihood of them wanting to do that task is zero to none. If I said, could you wash the car and I'm going to pay you a tenner, they might consider it. If I said I'd pay you 50, they'd be out there in 2 seconds flat. The task may not be something they would want to do. If the payment's not worth it, in their eyes, what's the point? If the payment is really worth it and they can't possibly turn that down, then they're going to do that task. Same goes for our dog. So thinking of something simple your dog can do. So whether that just be, can be, my dog can lie down on cue. At home, when there's not too many distractions, the job's quite easy. So it's an easy job to do. And they may quite happily offer that lay down and do it when you ask. And for 10p, a 10p treat, so a little bit of dry kibble, something a little bit boring. When you ask them to do that at home and there's distractions, so there's other people, there's guests around, people just come in the front door, you're likely to need a much higher level of reward. So something that is worth a lot more. If you're then taking them to a busy area, a busy park where there's loads going on, they're unlikely to want to offer that behaviour for just a rubbish treat. They need something that is worth that £50, £100 to make the payment worth or equal to the difficulty of the task. So when we're trying to teach our dogs to do something new, when we want them to behave in a certain way, when we want them to have positive associations, it's all about rewards or consequences. Think of your rewards as consequences. There's a corny saying, but I like it. It rhymes and it sort of kind of says what it does on the tin. What gets treated gets repeated. Loosely, if a behaviour gets treated, so it gets a reward, it's likely to happen again because it has a positive or a desirable consequence. It's something I like after that. So next time you ask me to do it, I will do it. If we think of rewards as being more of like consequences or feedback, it helps us to see how and why it works. Without regular feedback, How does your dog know they're doing the right job? How do they know they're on the right track? How do they know they're doing what you want them to do? So when we break tasks down and reward them a little bit more frequently, we give them more regular feedback, and therefore they know when they're doing something well. And as soon as they start to maybe not do what we want them to do, the feedback stops. We don't get rewards anymore. Well, that didn't work. I'll go back to the thing I was just doing because that was getting me lots of feedback, lots of rewards. It happens the same with us too. Think of, you know, anything you first learn to do. If you practice a new habit and try a new hobby, if you don't have that, oh, well done, straight away, you're likely to give up. If you don't find it easy, you're likely to give up. The same goes for dogs. If they do something and don't get a instant reward, whether that be from someone giving them something or from feeling positive about it, they're likely to go, well, that was rubbish, I won't do it again. Dogs do, I find, tend to perform better for one family member over the others. And it's often a area for debate and for sort of competition within the family. But I do find, I know it happens in my household and it does with many others I see, that dogs do tend to perform or behave or offer more behaviour for a particular family member over anyone else. And my personal view on that one is that the people who are more generous with their feedback and rewards, so there is a more positive consequence or a more desirable consequence to interacting with that person or pleasing them, that's the person your dog tends to do more for. If you are a little bit more stingy, so you don't give out as many food rewards, you don't offer the toys as much, you don't give the regular feedback, you tend to find that that person or those people are likely to get less desired results. So the dog's unlikely to do the things you'd like them to do as often, simply because we're not rewarding them enough. So that's kind of, broadly speaking, a little bit about rewards, but we're going to delve a little bit deeper. Because there are so many more rewards that are on offer that we don't often think about because we simply don't look at the world from our dog's eyes. When we're trying to teach them something new, it's really easy to give rewards because you know exactly what you're wanting. You know what task you want them to complete. So it's really easy to give them that regular feedback and give them lots of treats for it. When it gets a little bit more tricky, when we start to try and eradicate a behaviour, so we try and stop our dog from doing something that they're already doing, we struggle. How do we reward that? How do we work it out? And that's when we have to sort of really get inside our dog's mind and work out what is the reward, what's the consequence, and how can I change it? So we have to become a little bit like Miss Marple and become a detective and really work out what's going on for our dog. So obviously we've talked about giving rewards to our dog, but a reward in the broader sense is anything your dog likes, anything that they enjoy doing, anything that makes them feel good or gets the result they're looking for. And this is a little bit harder to understand or to get your head around, because it can be really weird things that you would never think of. But in general, if something, whatever it may be, if your dog does it once and they then repeat it, it's likely that they found it rewarding. If you do something and you don't get a reward from it, you're not going to repeat it. So again, what gets treated gets repeated. If your dog does something and it makes them feel good, they like the result, they like the consequence of that behaviour, they are going to do it again, and then they're going to keep doing it because they enjoy the feeling or the consequence from it. So thinking sort of a little about outside the box, what can our dogs do that makes them feel positive? So some things that we don't like, barking. We always tend to think of barking as one that, you know, dogs are dogs, they're going to bark, but we don't like them to do it because it's noisy and it's inconvenient, it's a bit embarrassing. Barking works. If barking makes somebody go away, if barking gets your person to interact with you, it gets a consequence, it gets a rewarded. If your dog likes laying on the sofa, It's probably because it gets rewarded. It makes them feel good. Laying on the sofa is more comfortable than laying on the floor. Therefore, I'll keep doing it because it was good. So think about things like when you're out on a walk. What does your dog like doing that is rewarding to them or has a good consequence? Sniffing. Pulling. Pulling gets me where I want to go. When I'm off lead, I get to run around and have fun. I get to go and say hello to all the other dogs. All of those things are rewarding. Your dog likes doing it, therefore they repeat it. So when we want to stop something from happening, we want to eradicate a behavior, it's all about rewards or consequences to actions. And our task is to ensure that all behavior receives a consequence that either makes them want to do it, so it makes the behavior more likely, or makes them go, well, what's the point in doing this, and makes the behavior less likely. So we're getting a little bit deep, sorry guys. But think of, for example, pulling on the lead. It's a nice simple one. If pulling on the lead gets your dog closer to where they want to go, pulling on the lead becomes rewarding because it gets me eventually to that thing or that place, or it gets me to the person, it gets me to the other dog, it gets me to go and sniff that sniff. So pulling then becomes more often and happens more because it was rewarded. If you, every time your dog gets to the end of the lead, you stand still and you don't let them pull you and get you anywhere, they soon learn that pulling doesn't get me anywhere because I never get what's out of reach. Therefore, it's less likely to be repeated. Sometimes each dog is really quirky when it comes to what's rewarding and what makes a behavior more likely. So for example, one of mine likes stones. Digging up a stone is his favorite thing in the world. That is then becomes a reward. Wow, play with this stone with me. It's weird, it's quirky, but dogs are unique. One of my other ones, Dave, he used to find Barbie dolls incredibly exciting. And when he was learning recall, we thought, well, why not? So we used to take a Barbie doll out with us. And every time he came back to us, he got to play with the Barbie doll. We may have looked very strange in the park, but it helped him learn that when I come back, I'm not just going to get, you know, the toy that I don't really like. I'm getting the best thing in the world. So things that can be rewarding to your dog are often things that we don't think about. So trying to work out and look into a situation and work out what actually gets them that feeling, that positive, will really help you excel in your training. So any situation where they're doing something and you go, well, why are they doing that? I haven't rewarded it. I haven't encouraged it, but they're still doing it. What is the reward? And for many dogs, you know, things like barking, or we'll get another dog's attention. People will come over and talk to them. Pulling towards another dog. And eventually that person, you get there and you get to say hello. So pulling on the lead gets me what I want. Barking gets my person to interact with me. Yes, I got their attention. That's what I wanted. And therefore things start to be repeated. So it's much easier to reward things we do like than to kind of delve into why things are being rewarded externally. But it helps you to look at the world from your dog's eyes. And when we do look at the world from our dog's eyes, it makes life a lot easier. So something I suggest everybody does, and if you guys are up for the challenge, don't go away and do it, is to find out what really works for your dog. What is their actual reward in every situation? As always, you know, grab a notebook, buy a pretty notebook and write it, or have a dog book and write it all in there. What is your dog's favorite reward to start with? What can I give my dog that they really, really like? So it could be a little exercise I like to do is have two or three different treats, offer them all and see which one they pick. And then often I know, well, out of these three, that's the one you like the most. That's the winner out of these three. And then I take that treat or that toy, if you can play it with toys too, and I put it with a few other things. Does it still win, or does one of the other things win now? Is this more important? And then we can start to create our little hierarchy or our currency of what's worth more to our dog. And having that written down and kind of knowing it in your mind just means that when you are training, you can make sure that you pick the reward, the food reward or the toy reward that is your dog's favourite or is equal to that task that you're asking them to do. And then if there's something that your dog does that you don't like them to do, whatever it may be, try and think about what the consequence is. So what happens when they do that thing? So for example, Fred loves to run into the garden and he often barks. And that is because there's squirrels sat on the end of the fence or a bird sat on the end of the fence. And when he runs out and barks, they run away. So they disappear. It initiates that chase and he loves to chase things. So for him in that scenario, running into the garden and barking gets the joy of them making something move and I get to chase it. That's his reward and his motivation. And knowing that means I can then work on how I can change that pattern so that he stops running out into the garden and barking. So rewards are quite a broad topic. This is just a quick fire look at that. Rewards are things that make consequences or good positive consequences to actions and are making things more likely to be repeated. Obviously, if we want something to not be repeated, we can make sure those rewards don't happen. So for example, before I go out into the garden with Fred, I could go out first and make sure there are no squirrels and no birds. And then when he does go out, he doesn't get to make anything move. So those rewards simply don't happen. Again, with pulling on the lead, if you want to pull to get to stuff, I'm going to now stop still. You can't go anywhere. That's not going to work anymore. That doesn't get you what you want. So rewards are quite a broad topic. There are so many things that we could talk about rewards, but this is just a quick 20-minute sort of chat about rewards and how they can make behaviours be repeated. Hopefully you found it useful. Do go and have a little go at that challenge with your dogs, working out what their favourite things are and having your own hierarchy and seeing if you can work out what the positive consequences to unwanted actions are. Don't forget, if you found this episode beneficial, tell your dog-loving, dog-owning friends to have a listen and join us for the next episode. Hope you all have a lovely week and I'll catch up with you soon. Thank you for listening to The Dynamic Dog Owner with me, Debbie Potter. See you next time.